Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this morning. And God, I just want to take a quick moment and just thank you for the body here at Bayside that makes us feel appreciated and also supports us and encourages us. God, again, this is the body, each one of us playing our part, and we all have a part, God. And so I pray, Father, that you would bless this congregation and bless us, God, as we continue to seek your will, seek your heart. I thank you so much for the sacrifices that so many in this room make on a regular weekly basis, God, and I'm just so thankful for them. So, God, I just want to give you praise and give you thanks for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. And I think we could all agree that true appreciation and true gratefulness goes to one person alone. That's Jesus. Amen? He deserves it all. It is good to be back. Last Sunday morning, I was down in Eau Claire, and it was the Converge Great Lakes, which is our conference. It was our annual meeting. Special thanks to Pastor Tom for kind of taking over and doing a wonderful job of filling in. And what a neat week he had. And if you were here, the story that he told of God kind of opening his eyes and bringing some people into his life and to make that message come to life. And I was praying for that, and he blamed me for some of all that happened. But I don't take anything, because God was doing a work, and he's doing a work in a lot of our hearts and lives. And then if you weren't in second service, you didn't hear the rest of that story. But when Tom kind of prayed and sort of released this man to the Lord, well, on Thursday night, another member of our congregation was led into this man's life. And it's an incredible story of how God was using the full body to love people. And it's a neat thing, because God is doing a really cool work in this other man's life. And he told me, he prayed that prayer earlier in the week. He said, God, help me to see people. Will you just please help me to see people? And he said, man, did God answer that prayer? Did God ever answer that prayer? And so it was unrelated. Didn't know that these two things were going to work together, but Pastor Thomas and then another person from our congregation working together to love this man. And it's a neat story. And if you want to hear the fullness of it, ask Pastor Tom for the rest of the story if you weren't here second service. But God is good, amen? Yeah, he's taken us on a good journey. We are in a series on our mission, and this will be kind of the last official week that we will be looking at our mission. One of the cool things is, from the annual meeting down in Eau Claire, our mission and where we're going, making disciples and loving the least, it's an amazing fit with where the conference is going and where Converge Great Lakes is going. This is certainly the heartbeat, I think, of what God is doing. And I was talking to somebody this week, and I said, you know, our mission, this whole thing, you know, it looks nice on this banner, but it's not that creative. It's not. It's kind of just going back to the basics. It's sort of just getting back to scripturally, God, who are you calling us to be? It's not unique. It's not creative. We didn't really come up with it. I think it's just kind of God's recipe for church. And so that even makes me more excited. And so what we've been looking at in the month of September, we looked at sort of this idea of internally, how are we making disciples? And again, this is just Jesus' model. Jesus started in big groups and started working his way down. And we looked at how do we make lifelong committed followers of Jesus through this ministry? Lifelong, committed followers of Jesus. That's the definition of a disciple. And so September, we kind of focused in on that. How are we doing that internally? And then as we move out this month of October, we began looking at really loving people and loving what we call the least of these. And that's the expression that Jesus used in Matthew 25. And started off looking at these first three areas of our mission: food shelf, education, and children. And really, the food shelf is the picture of a garden. And I think that's going to be coming pretty quick here. We had a lot of response and a lot of excitement on that. I think we'll be having our first planning meeting even sometime in November to start looking at how can we make this garden and that whole ministry a reality. And then education, with doing some life skills training and then some tutoring. kind of in connection with our Cooper Elementary School. And then, of course, working with kids, and that's the picture of a daycare. And so this is sort of the first leg that we looked at 2 weeks ago of getting out into our community and just loving people. And then the second area is what Pastor Thomas talked about last week, which is kind of the red boxes. And this is really bringing healing. If the green boxes are bringing practical help, the red boxes are bringing healing. And he looked at how we minister and love people who are grieving. And oftentimes that's because of a death or broken people, people whose life has just kind of beat them down. And then, of course, rescue ministry, where somebody's in a dangerous situation. And that's last week, bringing healing to the hurting. Did Jesus ever do that? Brought healing to hurting people. And that's kind of the second arm. And then today, we're going to look at sort of these blue boxes, which is the reality of this is bringing hope to the hopeless through prison ministry, visitation, and orphans. Now, I want to start by just taking a few minutes and talking about that word hope. You know, we use that word hope a lot in our culture, and maybe you've heard some of these expressions. I sure hope the Packers win. Or maybe you've heard this one. I hope the Packers don't win. Have you heard that one too? Yeah, they kind of go together in conversation. I hope I have enough money to pay my bills. Therefore, I hope to win the lottery. I hope that I can see this person again. You know, Yahoo, the internet deal, Yahoo did a study. What's the top 10 things people hope for? Here's the top 10 things that people in our culture hope for. Maybe you can relate to some of these. Top 10 hopes. Number one, money. No surprise there. Number two, love. Three, long life. People hope for friends. They hope for peace. They hope for health. They hope to win the lottery. They hope for good luck. They hope for kids. And number 10, this might sound familiar, they hope for money. That was 1 and 10. What they're saying is there's no guarantee for these things I hope for, but I would sure love if this happened. I wish I could have this. It's a desire or a want. We have defined hope in our culture as something we wish for. It's not promised. It's not guaranteed. It's not something we can count on, but it's something we really desperately want. Do you have a hope in your life? Do you have things that you are hoping will happen? And then the question is that biblical hope? Is that what the Bible is referring to when it speaks of the hope that we have in Christ? Is it a wish? Is it a desire? Is it something we would like? You know, we all have different hopes. But when the Bible's talking about hope, I want to just talk for a moment about what this actual word is. It's okay, Mark. We got one, right? We're good. Thank you. Okay, you got to focus on this one now. Let's talk about biblical hope. Here's what the definition is. The word is elpis. Here's what the biblical definition of hope is. And see if this is different than the hope that we have culturally. Biblical hope is this: a confident anticipation or expectation of the future. Look at some of those words. Confident anticipation, expectation for the future. This type of hope is solid. This type of hope is promised. This hope is a guarantee. It's extremely different than the hope that we think of when we culturally use the word hope. Hope culturally is a wish. Hope biblically is a promise. Now that's two different things. I want to just take a few moments before we get into our mission and look at a very broad overview of biblical hope. We're not going to spend a lot of time on any of these verses, but I want us this morning to think about, do I possess what the Bible would call hope? Do I possess, and let me ask you that this morning. When you think about your future, is it defined by that? Is your future defined by a confident anticipation or expectation for what's coming? Does that define your heart and your mind for the future? Because that's biblical hope. Let's look at a few verses. Let's start off with, what is the birth of hope in our lives? Where is hope birthed? Before Christ, let's look at Ephesians 2:12. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Before Christ, we were hopeless. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hopeless. We were without hope prior to Christ. We had wishes for our eternal future. We hoped, and I've talked to a lot of people before they trust in Jesus, and maybe you've had these conversations. What do you think's going to happen when you die? You know, Romans tells us God's put eternity, actually it's Ecclesiastes tells us God's put eternity into all of our hearts. We all want to know what happens when we die. Every one of us. God's put that into the heart of man. I could ask you to raise your hand if you care about what happens when you die, and if we're honest, 100% of people would raise their hands. Because God's put that in us. And I've had great conversations at times with people before they knew Jesus, and I said, what do you think happens when they die? And they would say, man, I hope I'm going to be with God. What are they saying? I sure wish, I sure desire to, but I don't know. I've had conversations with some people here at Bayside, and I've asked them that question. You know, what do you think of what's going to happen when you die? And they, man, I sure hope I'm going to be with God. Hang on a second. Hope, the birth of hope, is a confident expectation and anticipation for our future. It's confidence. Before Jesus, we were hopeless. Now, let's see when hope comes to life. Titus 3, verses 4 to 7. Here's the good news. The good news about hope. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. That's Jesus. He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness. We don't earn our salvation. We don't work for it. This keeps us very, very humble. This keeps us extremely humble in the sight of God because we didn't earn our salvation. He paid for that. Now look at this. But according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. I want to look at those three words just for a second. Washing, that means the Holy Spirit cleaned us. That means sin made us extremely dirty, made us very, very dirty. When we trusted in Jesus, He cleaned us. That word regeneration means He gave me life. So first He cleaned me, then the Holy Spirit gave me life, new life. I was born again. And then renewal means He made me new. So He took the old mark and He made a new mark. So it's cleansed. He cleaned me. He washed me. He renewed me. He gave me life. And then He made me new. That's the picture of what the Holy Spirit does at salvation. He cleans us. He makes us new. And He gives us life. Verse 6, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So here's the process. Before Jesus, we're hopeless. When we trust in Christ, we're cleansed, we're given life, and we're made completely new. Then God gives us His very Spirit to dwell in us. God in us. That's Colossians 1:27. Then the Spirit gives us confident assurance inside that we have eternal life. Romans 8:16 tells us that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. And that gives us a joyful anticipation for the future. When all of that happens, we have a joyful anticipation for the future. That's called El Peace, which is hope. So let me ask you, do you have that hope? Do you have that hope this morning? Are you totally secure in your salvation? Do you know that you know that you know that if you died today, leaving this church, you would be with Him for eternity? Do you know that? That's what we can have, my friends. God's put eternity into our hearts, and then He's given us His Spirit at the point of salvation so that we can know that we are His and we're saved. So what does that hope look like in our life? What's the look of hope? Hebrews 6:19, beautiful verse. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. Look at that. Sure and steadfast anchor. Boats would use an anchor when they want to stay somewhere. Maybe when it's stormy. Maybe when things are a little rough on the water. Anybody have a stormy time on the water recently? Anybody have a tough season of life? Anybody going through a trial? Anybody having a difficult time right now? Anything that's on your heart or on your mind? I have something on my heart and on my mind. I've had a difficult week this week. In one sense, I've never been more motivated and excited for what God is doing at Bayside. I am seeing people come to life about this mission. I don't know if I've had a more exciting week in my time here at Bayside than this last week, seeing what God is birthing in us. And at the same time, there's been some storms this week. There's been some things that have happened this week that have rocked my boat. Can I get an amen if you know what I'm talking about? Hope, biblical hope, L peace, gives us an anchor for our boat when the seas are a little rough. When we have a confident expectation for the future, when we know this life is not all that there is, it gives us a stability and a security and a confidence and an excitement and a joy for what's coming, because we know what's coming. And this life is not all that there is. That's what hope does. Now you might tell me this, Mark, that sounds awesome. I want some more of that. I got a little bit of hope. You know, like the verse that we talked about. Lord, I believe, help me with my unbelief. Lord, I hope, I need a little more hope. God, I want a little more confident anticipation. How do I get more hope? How do we see an increase in hope? Two verses, beautiful verses. This is practical stuff right here. You may have hope. You want more? Here's the two verses. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Look at this. God, He is the God of hope. If you want more hope, ask Him. If you want a more confident expectation and anticipation for the future, ask Him. Ask Him right now in your heart. You want to be more confident in your eternal salvation? Do you want to be more secure in your future? Do you want to be more solid so that when the storms of life come, you're solid, you're secure, you got an anchor? If you want more of that, ask Him right now. Just tune me out for a second and pray. Go ahead right now. If you want more hope, tell God, I'm going to pray right now and you can pray with me, because I want more hope. Heavenly Father, I ask right now, God, that you would fill me with more hope. You are the God of all hope. It's who you are, God. And I pray that you would fill me with more of your hope. Fill us, God, with more hope today, so that we may have more than enough. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want more hope, pray for it. And then it says, you will abound. That word bound means to superabound, in excess, have more than enough. More than enough hope. More than enough. When the God of all hope fills you with hope, you will have more than enough, so you'll spill over into the lives of other people. Have you ever met, let me ask you this, have you ever met somebody that it just seems so solid and secure about their salvation and about their eternity? Have you met those people? Isn't their life a witness? Doesn't that help you have more hope when you meet somebody who's got a lot of hope? Be that person. Be that person that is so filled up with the hope of God because you've asked Him. And He's given it to you, that you will spill over into the lives of other people who are just a little more insecure about their future. We can be those hopeful people. Second verse, this one is just as awesome, okay? Second verse, here's the second place. You say you want more hope, here it is. Romans 15:4. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have what? Hope. Hope comes from right here, my friends. You want more hope, you ask God, and then you get your nose in the scriptures. You want more confident anticipation for the future, you ask the God who is hope, and then you get your nose in here, because this is the book of hope. This is the book that leads us to know that we are His, that we have hope, that we are secure in our salvation, that we can be confident about what's coming. That's what this book is. And so we ask the God of hope, and then we get our nose into the scriptures and we start studying. And we start saying, God, who are you? Let me see who you are according to this. You know, if we're going to love the least of these, we have to see the least of these. We got to see them. We got to have those spiritual eyes, have a wake-up call, and have those spiritual eyes opened. And then we have to be so filled up with hope that we have more than enough, that we have an excess, that our lives begin to overflow with hope. If we don't bring hope, if we don't bring the hope of eternity to the least of these, we have nothing to bring them. Yeah, we can bring them a meal. We can bring them a support group. We can bring them a life skills training class. We can bring them tutoring. We can bring them a whole bunch of things. But the reality is, if we don't bring them eternal hope, we've brought them nothing. And we can't bring them hope unless we have more than enough. Unless we are so filled with a confident expectation and anticipation for the future that we got enough for us, and we even got a little bit more that's going to spill over. We need to be filled with hope so that it overflows into the life of the least of these. Okay, let's talk about our mission. Let's take a look at this mission to bring hope to the hopeless. We're going to look at three different areas this morning: prison ministry, visitation ministry, and loving on orphans. Let's take a look, starting off with our prison ministry. As we read this before in Matthew 25:36, Jesus said, "I was in prison, and you came to me." Now, this could potentially be a new area of ministry. We've done some prison ministry in the past, but this could be a new angle on it. Jesus told us to go, so we go. He said, "I was in prison and you visited me, so we need to go to prison. We need to go to jail." This could be St. Louis County Jail. This could be Douglas County Jail. This could. I don't know if you've ever done any prison ministry. I haven't done a lot, but I've done a little. It's a little different. I'm not going to lie to you. When you get locked in, because you get locked in, you imagine prison, and the first time you walk into that first set of doors, it goes, kung, 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 kung. And that's kind of what it does. And then you walk in, and then there's another door. There's not just one of those locking. There's a, chung, 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 chung. And then there's sometimes three different sets of locked doors, and you realize all of a sudden, whoa, I'm in. I'm in. I'm here. That's a different kind of a ministry. But God told us to go. He said, go. And these sometimes are people when they are feeling the very least that they will feel in their life. And they are sometimes at the bottom. And they are sometimes needing some hope, because life can feel kind of hopeless when you're in that situation. This could also include youth detention centers. We had a ministry at Youth for Christ going up to AJC, Arrowhead Juvenile Center. And we had a ministry where we reached teenagers with the gospel through that. This could look like a lot of different things as we go. We also could have the potential to have some integration type ministries, because one of the most difficult things is when someone is coming out of jail or out of prison to integrate back into culture, because it's very natural. It's very, very natural and very easy to fall back into the lifestyle that you're used to. Now, we all understand that. Try to start doing something new and see how you do. Maybe you have a goal. I want to start eating a little healthier. Okay, give that a try. I want to start exercising more. See how that works. The first time you do it, I'll bet you fail. I'm not trying to throw a downer here on you if you have. The most easy and natural thing is to fall back into what you are used to. And we can stand back like Simon the Pharisee from a distance and judge people. Or we can enter into relationship, and then we can come alongside and have a ministry to help people. and to help people reintegrate. You know, we've had a long-standing ministry, and I don't know how long it is, but I know it's been a while, here at Bayside called Angel Tree. And Angel Tree is a ministry where people, the children of people who are in prison or in jail, get Christmas gifts. And we've done that. We've had the Angel Tree at least as long as I've been coming around. And we're going to do that again this year. And Angel Tree is a wonderful way to minister to the families of those who may be incarcerated or may be locked up. We're going to do that again this year. Christy Schottenbauer is leading our Angel Tree ministry this year. And she has a heart, and I love this idea, of ministering to these families not just at Christmas time, bringing them gifts, and maybe this year we're going to bring them a meal. But this year, she has a heart to minister to them throughout the whole year and to start building relationships with these families, not just at Christmas time. And I was thinking that if we did that, that could also open up the opportunity to then go right into the jails and the prisons and minister to the people who are locked up from these families. And so it could build this holistic kind of a ministry to the families, the full families of people who are in prison. We're going to talk about Angel Tree in a couple of weeks. But if you're interested in that, you can certainly talk to Christy Schottenbauer. Her information is right on the sermon notes. Prison ministry is an area that we want to go. Second area of our mission is with visitation. This is with homebound people and people who are shut in. We've had as long as the church has been around, we have had a visitation ministry because we have been visiting those who are shut in. There's individuals who have been doing this. As long as Bayside's been around, there's been individuals. We started something new within the last year, and this one now is led by Luann Warshalak, and I'm just so proud of Luann. I don't think this was a planned ministry that she had, but she was willing to take this on, and so now we have some organization and some structure to our visitation ministry. She has about 10, 12 people on her team, and they minister, and they regularly visit about 15 or so of our homebound or shut-in people. They try to get to them at least once a month, sometimes more than that. They call them on the phone. They send them cards. And it's just a way for them to show love to these folks who in our culture, many times, we have put a lesser value on. Culturally, we have taken away some value as you get towards the end of life. And I'll just say right now this morning, that's wrong. Life has value. All life has value. From the moment of conception until the moment you go home to be with Jesus, all life counts. Amen? And that's the heart of this visitation ministry. Many of these people came to Bayside their whole lives, and they still want to feel connected to the body. And this visitation ministry still allows them to feel like they are very, very connected to the body of Christ. James 1:27 says, "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans," we're going to get to them next, "and widows," we talked about them last week, "in their affliction." But I want you to focus on one word. Right before the word orphans, it says, "to visit." To visit. That means we go. That means when we are able, we go to those and we visit those who are not able. That means we take the time out of our schedules, out of our days, and we do some visitation. We go. If you're interested in being involved in this, again, you can talk to Luann. Her information is in the sermon notes. And you don't have to necessarily, if you can't get up and go, maybe you can make some phone calls. Or maybe you can write out some cards. Or maybe you do have a heart to start visiting people. That's the second area of our mission. One is prison. Second one is visitation. The third one, this is going to be the last one we're going to focus on this morning. And this is the last of our 9 new potential programs or existing programs. And this one we're going to talk about orphans. For this part of our mission, I would like to have Dave LeMaster. There he is. Dave, come on up. This program has already begun, and this is our Promise 14:18 ministry. Now, Promise 14:18 is from John 14:18, where Jesus said, "I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you." Now, this ministry, Promise 14:18, has focused on these three areas: adoption, orphan care, and foster care. And Dave has been leading that and heading that up, and we've been seeing God do some really cool things. And so I just asked him if he'd come up and just share a little bit about what Promise 1418 is doing. So Dave, first of all, why don't you just tell us kind of your mission statement for why even Promise 1418 exists.
All right. So here's our mission. We desire to increase awareness of the orphan situation in our community and around the world, communicate God's heart for orphans, and provide Christ-centered support and direction for those interested in joining his call to care for orphans. And the verse that Pastor Mark just read, James 1:27, definitely applies to that. If you kind of notice, it's three sections. The first section, there's really awareness, and then the second section, communicate God's heart for orphans. That's education. That's helping people, helping you guys to understand why do we care for orphans? You know, why is it important? And then the last section is really support, providing support for those that need help in these areas. And so that's kind of our overall mission.
No, that's an awesome mission, and it's good. But tell me your heart. Tell me your heart for this whole ministry and kind of why it means a lot to you even right now.
Well, some of you know our story, but for those of you that don't, and just to share a little bit, a little over 2 years ago, my wife and I decided to start the process of adoption, and we weren't all sure what to expect. We knew there'd be challenges and struggles, but we went ahead. We felt God calling us to that, and, you know, time goes by, and you know, you get all the information filled out, and then you wait, and you're kind of discouraged, and you really just got to wait on God. And then something else happens, and you're at the next phase. And so it's really like a roller coaster up and down. And finally, in April of this year, we got a referral for our little girl. And she, the birth mom was in Florida, so she would be born down there. And so that gave us 2 months. She was due in June, and so we were planning to go down there. But they really gave us from April to June a couple months to visit the birth mom and meet with her. Amy had an opportunity to fly down to Florida in April to go to an ultrasound, and so they had pictures of our little girl, and that just meant so much to us. And Amy had time to connect with her and really just get to know her, and so we built that relationship with her. And then in June we went down there for the birth, and Amy was able to be in the delivery room, and she got to hold our girl. And one of the greatest pictures we have is Amy first holding her and just crying, just because when you hold that kid, and any parent knows that for the first time, it's just so special. And so she's about 4.5 months old now, Ella, and I mean, she's just brought so much joy to our lives. And adoption is one of the pieces of this ministry. You know, it's definitely not the only one, but for us, that's where our passion comes from. And we just want to encourage others to get involved in any way, big or small. Anything you do, you know, it helps.
So what are we doing then specifically as a church, Promise 1418, with adoption?
With adoption, one of our main goals when we first started was to create a support system, support group structure for families that have a connection to adoption. So maybe you adopted or you're in the process of adopting. Maybe you were adopted, and maybe you just want to find out more information about adoption. So last year in the fall, we started Adoption Connection, and so that's what you'll see there. We meet monthly. Second Monday of every month. Basically, we just open it up to Bayside and the community. We don't want this to just be Bayside folk, because there's not much going in our community that's supporting adoptive families, is what we found out. So we actually had our first meeting of the fall in October, and we had 13 people, which was a great turnout. And I think I counted it up, and we had 5 different churches represented. So we're reaching out to people in this community, and we're connecting churches and people with a similar heart, and they need the support. And so we meet monthly. If you have a connection, definitely we would love to see you there.
That's awesome. So that's second Monday every month,
yep.
6:38 here at Bayside.
Yep.
And if you have kids, you can still come.
For sure. Child care provided.
And then I see also for foster families. Now I know that kind of the second arm of this is foster care. So tell me what we're doing for that.
Yeah, and with foster care, we would love to see at some point a support group. So, you know, we want foster families to attend if they feel comfortable, Adoption Connection. But right now what we're doing is we created a connection with Douglas County and the foster care system. We're working with the coordinator of the foster kids, and kids get placed in foster homes, and a lot of times it's last minute. You know, you'll find out, and within a couple days, they'll need to place the kid in your home. Well, we've been working with the coordinator. He'll, when a family comes up, he'll get a list of needs. So maybe they need some clothes, maybe hygiene stuff, maybe some stuff for school, and, you know, maybe a couple toys. He'll email us a list of things that he needs, and we've developed a distribution list for emails of about 80 different emails. And what we do is we just send it out. And it's many of you here and many from other churches. And we send it out and we say, hey, here's the need. Can you help? So some people will donate items that are gently used. Some people will go and purchase items. And some might say, you know, I got a little cash I can give you. Can you go get something for them? And even just prayer for that family as they bring that new kid into their home. So that's what we're doing. And it's been great. Nikki Wilson, who's on our team, she works a lot with that area. And she said every time we go and drop off these items with the foster system and then they deliver them, she said the workers in Douglas County are just blown away every time. They're like, I mean, it's like, why would you guys be doing this? And that's where it is. We shouldn't always be relying on the government to provide the needs, as Pastor Marks mentioned. We need to, as a body and as Christians, we need to provide the support for these families. Yeah. And so that's what that's about.
That's awesome. And we've gotten a couple of those emails, and to see the response from just the body here at Bayside, man, there's a need. Here's the deal. If you have any of this stuff, I mean, I think we have three kids, and the stuff that we have just sitting around, you know what I mean? That we could be, like you said, a testimony, a witness, being the body of Christ in the community is a cool deal.
And so as an update, we were able to help 5 families so far this year. This mm-hmm. program was new this year, but 5 families we were able to help in that way. So,
yeah. And it kind of does blow people away. Yeah. They're sort of like, why are you doing this? Why would you be giving away your stuff to other people? Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that is within you. And that's the answer. It's Jesus. So that's awesome. So now, tell us now about the heart of this thing, which is really orphan care.
Yeah, this is the third leg, orphan care, and mainly global orphan care. A lot of times, you can help here with foster care, and you can help, and you can adopt a child. But there are some kids that aren't adoptable, and they're overseas. They just need some help, and they need that hope of the future. And so what we've done is we've kind of partnered with Compassion, and last year we offered Compassion sponsorships, and we had 20 kids sponsored last year, which was just amazing. And so this year we're doing it again, and we have 30 kids out there. And my main encouragement is we need to get rid of those 30 kids. Mm-hmm. We need to find sponsors, you guys, we need your help to provide hope to these 30 kids. And so with sponsorship, my wife and I last year, we took on a kid, and her name's Butu Amare. And I think we got a couple pictures. Okay, yeah, here she is. So this was at her birthday this year, and kind of our connection with her and how we picked her is her birthday is on our anniversary for our wedding. So it's just a nice reminder to think about her on that day as well. So this was at her birthday party, and then this is her family on the left. You got her siblings and her mom there. And the picture on the right is really kind of special because you have the monthly sponsorship, but throughout the year they also provide you the opportunity to give a family gift if you choose. You don't have to do that. It's additional, but if you want to, you can. So we felt that was important because we're ministering to her, but we want to minister to her whole family as well. And so you see these sheep here. They were actually able to get those with our family gift. And when we got that picture, it was just so special because we knew we were helping out the whole family. And so it's not just about the kid, you know, it's about the whole family as well. So what we do have is out in the fellowship hall, we have a couple tables there with those kids. They're all out there. So I just encourage you to go out there and look at the different kids. What you'll get is this packet. So if you go out there, you look, you'll see these packets. It has the kid's name, what country they're from. And if you open this card here has more information about them and their family and the region that they're from. And basically, you just sign up. It's $38 a month. And, you know, some of us might look at that and think, wow, that's a lot of money to commit monthly. And that's where we're just encouraging you and just to really think about what God's leading you to do. You know, maybe it's a dinner. You know, if a couple goes out to dinner, you know, Olive Garden, for example, you're going to spend $38, if not more, around there, you know. So maybe you forgo dinner once a month, you know. Whatever you can do, it's about sacrifice, you know. It's about putting someone else ahead of yourself. And so that's the encouragement. When you sign up, you'll have the opportunity to communicate with your kid. Like I said, we got those pictures, And, you know, this is one of the letters we got from them. You know, they'll write in their language, but then they'll have a translation on the back. And, you know, she wrote a few little pictures, too. So, I mean, we thought we were doing a good thing to help our sponsored kid out. But when you step back, really, they're the ones that are blessing you.
So. Yeah. That's awesome. Dave, thank you. What I would encourage you to do, we're actually going to close a little differently this morning. We're going to close with a video from Compassion International. And what I want to encourage you with is to see this little girl. Don't allow this to just gloss over. Please see her. Watch and listen to her story and let it in this morning. We have 30 out there. I do honestly believe that we can get rid of all of those 30. Last year when we did this initiative, my family took on our third little Compassion, and her name is Lamrot, and she's the same age as our little Selah. And this morning at breakfast time, our three little kids are on our refrigerator, and this morning at breakfast time, Selah's praying, and she's praying for her breakfast that God would bless it. And then she said, "And God, please touch today Komong and Elena and Lamrot, and please help them to have a meal today." My four-year-old daughter is praying this morning for a girl around the world that she'll have food. Now, there's no price, that you can't put a price on that. It's $38 a month if you could. But you can't put a price on that, because that is the changing of a life here and the changing of a life there. When we're all done this morning, I want to encourage you to go to this card again, because this is the final card. You're going to see all of the areas that we talked about this morning. Again, just like we have the last 2 weeks, if there's any area that you have a heart and you want to be involved with, whether it's the prison ministry or we have the little angel tree symbol, visitation or orphan care, please fill out this card, put it back in the connection box. And even if there's some from the last couple of weeks that you want to be involved in, figure out your place in this ministry. Fill this out. You can do it at any time, and then just put it in the connection box. But right after I pray, we're going to watch the video, and that's how we're going to close this morning. So let's just close in a word of prayer as we prepare our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you again for this morning. We thank you that though we were hopeless, God, you have given us hope. You've given us a confident anticipation and expectation for the future. And Father, then we become the bearers of that hopeful good news. And I pray, God, that you would fill us to a point of overflowing with hope, that our hope may spill over into the lives of others. God, help us now during this video to really see this girl in this story. Lord, help it to touch us. And Lord, inspire and touch any of us that should be involved and that could be involved in loving the least of these by sponsoring a compassion child. We thank you that you came down. You didn't leave us as orphans. You came to us. And I pray that we can be a part of bringing that to others. In Jesus' name, amen.